Good morning and welcome once again to Redeemer. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, my name is Chris and I get to open God's Word with you today. If you brought a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open it up to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. We are back in Hebrews 10 for the third time as we proceed through this series that we entitled Jesus is Better. Now, while you're turning there, let me just share with you a couple of things. If you are looking in the ESV Scripture journals that we've been giving out throughout this series, and if you want one, we'd be happy to give you one. You're going to be on pages 40 and 42 today, and we'd love for you to have a copy of that to take with you and to make notes in. But before we dive into God's Word, I want to talk a little bit more about the International Mission Board Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, which we kicked off today. Every year, beginning in the last week of November, all the way through the month of December and into the first week of January, we take up an offering to be of other churches in our denomination that share in sending the largest global Protestant missionary force. And to help you know what that money goes to, we have these little booklets, and we want you to pick up one on your way out the door today so that you will prayerfully be able to reflect on what God would have you give so you can see amazing facts. Like, for example, in this last year, through your IMB missionaries and our national partners, we saw 77,000 people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So your gifts here have a global impact like you can't believe, and we get to participate in that offering. And so all month long, you're going to be seeing videos and information about that, and we want to encourage you to give sacrificially, generously, joyfully. This is our biggest goal ever. Every year, by God's grace, for the last 7 years, we have been able to exceed our goal and to raise our goal, and we are doing that once again. So we want to encourage you to be generous as you think about the needs of lost people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be focusing our study on Hebrews 10, 26 through 31, but I'll be reading in verse 19 through 31 to give us more of a context. We read through this whole passage last week as we looked in the beginning and the end of it, and today we're focusing on the middle section. Hebrews 10, 19 through 31. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Punishment, do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May God add his blessing to his holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Some passages of Scripture carry such weight that when you're reading them at home, you want to race right through them. Some passages of Scripture carry such weight that pastors don't want to preach them. Some passages of Scripture should terrify you. This is one of those passages. If you are not scared, then you have not understood. So we're going to see in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31, a warning against the sin of apostasy. We'll talk about what that is. We're going to see how there's an outward behavior that's connected with apostasy. We're going to see how there's an inward heart that feeds into apostasy. We're going to see the consequences of apostasy. And then we're going to see that there's a transforming truth given to the church that guards our hearts and lives against the reality of the possibility of apostasy in our lives. So a warning, an outward behavior set, an inward heart, the consequences, and a transforming truth. So in Hebrews 10, 26, we read these words. If we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now, this is written to the church. This is not written to the world. This is not a truth for people who do not profess to understand Jesus Christ. This is written to the church for people who show up every Sunday morning, who've received a measure of the knowledge of the truth of God, but who have a set of actions in their life whereby they go on sinning deliberately. Now, in the context of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, this is the sin of apostasy. The word apostasy is from Greek. It's introduced in the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. We already looked at that. It means to fall away from God. There are people who encounter the truth of God. They encounter the truth of Jesus Christ. They encounter the truth of what He has done, but they fall away from Him. So an apostate is a person who has forsaken the Christian faith. They're a person who's walked away from the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, this may not look like you think it looks like. You may think of this as somebody who publicly tweets out that they no longer are a follower of Jesus Christ, or in contemporary terms, as we've seen this last year from artists and former pastors, they are now deconstructing their faith. But it means that they've ceased to be a follower of Jesus. They used to say every day that having encountered the Savior Jesus Christ, they now wake up each day seeking to follow Him by His grace through His empowering Holy Spirit, but no longer. No longer do they want to follow Jesus. And sometimes that can happen in profession, but very often it happens slowly through drifting away, which the author of Hebrews has already warned us against. He's already said, don't drift away. Don't just slowly slide and fade away from Jesus such that after a year or two or three, people look at your life and they couldn't tell that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So this includes people who have decided to hedge their spiritual bets by saying, I want to get baptized, I want to walk an aisle or pray a certain prayer or confess in front of a group of people that I want Jesus as my Savior. I'm really looking for spiritual fire insurance, but I don't want Jesus and His gospel to have daily authority over my life. I don't want